we want to hear your feedback. We want you to tell us where, you know, where we might be taking a misstep and where we might be able to get better. So I think that looking at the negative in just the same kind of light that you look at the positive is going to help you grow for sure.
Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Mic check, mic check. 3, 2, 1. Checkity, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the show. On this week's episode, I wanted to do a little recap, some growth tips from my top episodes. So I went into the data machine and looked up my shows that had the highest downloads and the areas where there was the most value for the listener. And I have combined it into a super episode. So this podcast is going to include growth tips from Edison Research's Senior Vice President, Melissa Kischi, Libsyn's VP of Podcaster Relations, Rob Walsh, entertainment lawyer, Maggie Armstrong, and the guys from Launch Pod Media who talked to me about how to game your podcast downloads. So there is so much good stuff in this episode. I am so happy to be able to reshare some of these bits with you, these growth tips. And before we dive in, I do want to share our review of the week. And this is actually not a review. It's a question that came from one of our listeners who also follows me on Instagram. So I wanted to read it to you and also share my answer because there's some value there. I want to shout out Krista Walsh, copywriter. And she writes, because I shared here that originality is the spice of life. If you were to launch a podcast, what would it be about? And Krista wrote, great question. How do you advise your clients on what to base their podcast on? So here is my answer. If you are going to launch a podcast, this is what I work with people on. I work with them to figure out what to podcast about based on the following three things. One, what are they passionate about? What is the thing that drives them? What makes them excited? What makes people feel good when they think about it? They're like, this is my passion. This is the story I want to tell. This is the impact. Like, this is my thing. I love this thing. So that, two, what their audience wants from them. So we always do a audience survey when I'm working with people. And then three, what their business is or what their value proposition is. Because a lot of podcasters don't have a business, and that's totally fine. You don't need a business to have a podcast, but there is a value that you might not see in yourself that you totally have, or you might see it. This could be your expertise. It could be what you specialize in. Again, it could be your business. And we use those three things to kind of find the sweet spot. And that is the thing that they should podcast about or launch on. And then we come up with a strategic plan based on that. So this is also something, if you are thinking about launching a podcast, you could do right now. You could write down, hey, what is the thing you're passionate about? Who is your audience? If you have an audience, you can survey them and ask them, what do they want to hear from you? What do they want your podcast to be about? Ask them. If you have an email list, shoot them a question. Ask people on Facebook or Instagram, wherever your audience may be. And then what is the thing that makes you an expert? That is your value proposition. That is likely what your business is about. And then we fold them together. You can fold them together and kind of brainstorm some fun ideas. The development portion for me is always the most fun. So I think you will have a lot of fun doing that. Okay, so back to this week's episode. Again, thank you, Krista, for sharing that question with me. And if you guys want to find Krista, she is Krista Walsh, Walsh, copywriter on Instagram. And it's Krista with a K. All right. So without further ado, let's dive into the value bombs from my past guests. These again are my highest listened to, highest rated show episodes that if you didn't get a chance to listen to them, they're all here in this one episode. So we are going to first hear from Senior Vice President at Edison Research, Melissa Kischi. What she is sharing here is unique market-proven strategies to grow your podcast audience. She also talks about what the data is telling us about your podcasts and the future of the podcasting industry. This was from episode 2 of Podcast Coaching with Christine.
So is there something based on the data we were just talking about, if you have a brand or if you have a business, based mm-hmm. on the data that you're now finding, do you think it would be wise for more businesses or brands to start podcasting? Mm-hmm. And if so, what would be the benefits in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a good time to start a podcast. I think that, you know, one of the great things about podcasting is that there's a pretty low barrier to entry here. I mean, pretty much anybody with a microphone and a computer can start a podcast. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a fantastic podcast, but they can at least start a podcast. You know, I think that if you are trying to start a podcast, you really need to understand the audience that you're trying to reach. If you're an expert in your field and you're trying to reach out to a certain group of people, you need to understand the content that's important to them. You need to be able to put together a series of episodes that's actually going to be relevant to them. So yes, I mean, anyone can start a podcast, and there certainly is a lot of room for growth here, but that comes with a responsibility to your listeners to actually develop great content.
Do you have any other thoughts when it comes to any businesses or brands who are looking to grow their audience, something that they can do to try and succeed at that?
Well, I mean, people that are looking to grow their business through advertising, there's a bunch of different ways to touch podcasting. And I mean, the obvious way is really through traditional advertising on podcasting. So we know that traditional podcast advertising is successful. You know, find the podcast that has an audience that you are looking to reach and buy advertising on that podcast. You know, these host-read podcast ads are really what podcasts started as. Being able to give a host your advertising content and allowing them to really put their spin on it to make it native to the content that's already created as part of that podcast, that messaging is really powerful. We know that podcast listeners are a captive audience. They're not very likely to skip ahead. These are people that are actually going to sit and listen to that podcast. They've developed a relationship with the host. They are actually likely to at least consider purchasing that product or service.
Thanks again, Melissa, for being on the show. We so appreciated having you. I loved meeting you, getting to spend time with you at Podcast Movement. Melissa has some other really amazing things that she's working on, including the Podcast Consumer. And I will link to that in the show notes below. Okay, so next up, we have VP of Podcaster Relations, Rob Walsh. Rob Walsh is in the Podcasting Hall of Fame, and he is a data guy. A lot of data stuff is my top episodes. So Rob shares insider knowledge when it comes to measuring your downloads, monetization, and what it takes to successfully promote your podcast. He is a strong cup of coffee, even though he doesn't drink coffee. And I think you'll really enjoy these sound bites. So let me know what you think.
Why, in your opinion, should people podcast?
There's a lot of reasons to podcast. It could be a hobby. It can be a church just wanting to get the word out, literally the word out. It can be someone who wants to promote their brand, someone who wants to create a brand. You know, a podcasting is a good way to be looked at as an authoritative figure in your niche. You want to improve your career positioning? Having a podcast will definitely help in that way. I mean, 600 million bloggers is only 600,000 podcasters. So that's a 1,000-to-1 ratio. that will make you stand out from those that are blogging. So if you have a topic that you're blogging about and you're not podcasting, you really are not a good marketer. You should be podcasting.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Libsyn? If there's someone who is new to the podcasting world and they're wondering, where should I start my podcast? There's all these different media hosts out there. What's best for me? Because I find there might be different fits for different needs.
So let me bring it back one step first.
Yeah.
To understand why you would even need Libsyn. A lot of people don't realize, they think, oh, I'm podcasting, I'm just going to put my podcast up on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Apple doesn't host any podcasts. They don't host a single media file. So to get your podcast into Apple Podcasts and iTunes, you actually first have to host your file somewhere. And you have to have what's called an RSS feed. An RSS feed is, it stands for really simple syndication, but what it really is it's a treasure map of your content on the internet. So you need to have this RSS feed, and you need to then submit that feed to Apple. And that's where Libsyn comes in and other podcast hosts. We'll help you manage the RSS feed, and we'll help you host your media files. So you have a place to host the media files and an RSS feed, and that's how you actually are able to podcast. So without a media host, without an RSS feed, you can't podcast. And that's where Libsyn comes in to make it really easy and then give you statistics back on how your show's doing. So you know if you're getting over 130 or under 130 downloads per episode, geographically where those downloads are coming from, what user agents, when your downloads are coming. So this is why people choose Libsyn. And then the other big reason they choose Libsyn is distribution. We help you distribute out everywhere. So I've been inundated the last couple of days helping people getting their podcasts onto radio.com, which we're just launching. And I just had another group go into Pandora. We were the launch partner with Pandora. We're launching here with radio.com as well. So Libsyn helps you distribute your content to multiple places. So you can be everywhere. Because ultimately, that's the secret to growth, is be everywhere.
Thank you, Rob, for being on the show. I so loved having you, and I've continued to love our correspondence over the years now. Wow, time is flying by. And I also wanted to mention that I have a coupon code for anyone who wants to launch a podcast and they want to get their first 2 months of media hosting with Libsyn for free. You can use the code BRIGHT, B-R-I-G-H-T, when you are checking out. If you sign up on the second of the month, you'll get 2 months free. So let me know if you do it. I hope you enjoy Libsyn as much as I do. With Libsyn, it's a media hosting company with whatever you use, you host there, you still own. There are some media hosting companies where if you host, they then own the content. That is not the case with Libsyn. They have their own servers that they back up. They don't buy cloud space in someone else's servers. And they are an OG in the media hosting world. So I really trust them, and that's why I use them and recommend them to other people. All right, next up is my friend Maggie Armstrong. She and I used to be rowers at the University of Minnesota together many moons ago, and she is now an entertainment lawyer and a pretty bomb diggity one. In this episode, she sheds light on the most important legal issues every podcaster should be aware of. Now, Maggie has worked for Blumhouse Productions, United Talent Agency, and is now a staff attorney at Twin Cities PBS in St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, in this clip, she is sharing how you can protect your brand and the content you create on your podcast, as well as how to avoid trademark infringement and steer clear of possible defamation lawsuits involving libel and slander. Super important episode. Sound bites. Listen in. So when it comes to brand protection, the answer is, it depends.
The answer is, if you want to make sure that your brand is as protected as possible, getting a federally registered trademark is the highest level of protection that you can have over your brand.
Got it.
Trademark is definitely a very big body of law in and of itself. So if you are interested in trademarking your brand, I definitely would advise talking to an attorney who does trademarks specifically. That way you can make sure that all your bases are covered. And that pertains to, honestly, your brand name and sort of the, like, what your podcast is, and not necessarily the content of your podcast. And that, I think, we'll probably be talking about either now or possibly a little bit later, because that falls more under copyright.
Publicity rights in podcasting. With podcasts, a lot of people promote their podcast by sharing who was on their podcast. And a lot of highbrow guests on your podcast could, you know, help you promote your podcast or get other highbrow guests on your podcast. You know, there's this whole keeping up with the Joneses. You could maybe go on another person's podcast and talk about another person on your podcast. So I feel like publicity starts to get blurry when it comes to how much you can say, how much you can't say, and if you need to have your guest sign a contract so that you can make sure that you are safe if you go out to promote your podcast. So, publicity rights and podcasting, let's go.
So, yeah, public figures have the right to control their own publicity. And that's sort of the baseline of this area, is that you cannot say, you know, so-and-so celebrity uses my product, even if it's true, without that person's consent, because public figures have the legal right to control what their name is used for in promotion and publicity purposes. That being said, if you do have someone on your podcast who would be considered a public figure, it is definitely advisable to make sure that you have a conversation with that person, or potentially in writing, that you want to use their name to promote your podcast. You probably will eventually want to have an agreement for people who appear on your podcast that will contain a lot of different things. And again, this is something that an intellectual property lawyer or an entertainment lawyer can help you put together. Part of it will be stating that you want to use this person's name and recordings that you make with the podcast and their images for publicity and promotional purposes. So just having someone on your podcast, you know, if you're promoting that particular episode, I think that's probably going to be somewhat implied that they're going to be helping you promote an episode of your podcast. If you want to say, you know, this podcast so-and-so, that, you know, this person was on this podcast. So, like, using that sort of long-term as a promotional tool for your podcast, you would definitely want to have the right to do that up front in the form of that person granting you the right to use their name and image in order to promote your podcast.
And last but not least, I'm going to be introducing you to the co-founders of LaunchPod Media, John Dinkle and DK Waddell. These gentlemen have taught me how to game my podcasting analytics, my downloads, to kind of learn some marketing tricks that would not have come to me naturally. So what DK and John do at LaunchPod Media is they help businesses fulfill their marketing goals through podcasting. Their podcasts have been featured by Apple Podcasts at least 15 times, probably more at this point, and they've had top shows in 13 companies. In this highlight, they share how they successfully game their podcast analytics to grow their productions so you can too.
There's two big misconceptions I think businesses and people have about podcasts. And the first one is that the business mistake is that they think business is Netflix, not YouTube. And the big mistake that a lot of beginning podcasters make, the people who are like me in their basement or people that are recording in their living room, is that podcasting is contributing to a conversation. And if you need to bring value and contribute to the conversation that your audience wants to hear about, I mean, I thought people wanted to hear about, you know, basic Japanese stuff. What they actually wanted was they wanted a step-by-step, easy to understand guide for difficult grammar points. And so my podcast went from, you know, how to say this to how Japanese works from a foreigner's perspective. And it made all the difference because I was communicating value to what my audience actually cares about. I joined every Facebook group. I joined every Reddit post. I joined every Discord. I joined every single thing I could. And then I just communicated with my audience. And I went from, you know, 50 downloads a week. And right now I'm sitting, I think, you know, 150,000 downloads a week.
And the most important reason why 50 listeners is actually quite a good thing is because each listener's in podcasting world, an email, like if you have 50 people in your email list, that probably doesn't mean very much. But 50 listeners in a podcasting sense, usually podcast listeners are much more dedicated than an email reader.
Oh, yeah.
That 50 people, like I think the standard conversion rate is 68 or 69% of podcast listeners actually purchase something recommended. 64% of podcast listeners purchase something recommended by their hosts every 3 months. That kind of power does not happen in any other medium. So 50 listeners is very, very good. Yep. Very great.
So are there any other systems that you use that a podcast audience would love to know about when it comes to learning their analytics? Like how do they, is there a way to game their analytics?
Yes. So if you want to look up analytics, there's a couple of things you should understand as kind of baseline things. The average download rate for a podcast in the first 3 months is like something like 42 listeners for your show. If you're hitting it, you're at the median. After that, it goes up very, very slightly. You can always get these new updated numbers via Libsyn's podcast. Rob Walsh, he puts his stuff up there for that. When you're doing your analytics, though, there's a couple little things that you can do right now that will help you. First thing, go into your categories and make sure that you're not competing for a general category. Don't do that. If you're competing with business, there's the general one. You're also competing against all marketing, all entrepreneurship, all startup, all finance podcasts. If your podcast is about, you know, startup conversations on the university, then you need to be not in business, but business subcategory entrepreneurship. You can also, depending on your platform, rank for more than one category. You should, on Apple, have at least 3 subcategories because then you're competing for a subcategory and a main category and 3 different charts. If you're doing it on Spotify, you can actually compete for up to 7 different areas, up to 8 different areas, because you can have category plus subcategories. So you can rank for more. You do that by taking in, not using the automatic RSS feed and feeding it to Spotify, but going into Spotify yourself, naming and collecting your show under your username, and then updating it like that. So you can have podcast specific, because most things like Libsyn, Spreaker, Blueberry, and et cetera will have it automatically generated.
Those are different media hosting companies.
Yes. Don't use the automatic. Make sure you enter it manually. Another major thing that you can do is make sure that you are doing basic keyword research. Go to a great website. It's called Answer the Public. Go to Answer the Public. Type in your keyword for your show. If you're a podcast about, you know, scuba diving, and you want type in scuba diving. And then you can see all the different words that go for scuba diving, all the synonyms, all of the LSI keywords, all of the questions that the internet is asking, and then name your podcast that name. Put a little line and then name it something cute. Those words, because Google is now tracking the automatic transcripts generated by your show, if you can do that, but the thing is, then you have a very good chance of having your podcast rank in the top of Google. Give you an idea. A company will pay about $60,000 to have a SERP at the top of Google. Okay. You can go above that and by making a SERP, by making it, taking it to a YouTube video, just generate it, put a picture on there, shoot it over, and then have the transcript available there. You can usually beat out, I'm not kidding, you can usually beat out advertisements at $16 a click.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please let me know. As always, you can shoot me an email at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at @thechristineod. And I look forward to chatting with you over there or in my inbox. And until next time, happy holidays. I'll talk to you soon.